यूयं भवश्च भगवान् अथ दैत्यवर्य पत्नी मोहोच च मनुश्च तदात्मजश्च प्रचीन बारी रिबु अंग उद उध्रुवश्च वेदेहम अंग परमस्य हि योग माया यूयं भवश्च भगवान् अथ दैत्यवर्य पत्नी महो स च मनुश्च तद् आत्मजश्च प्राचीन बारी रिभूर अंग उत ध्रुवश्च वेदेहम अंग परमस्य हि योग माया यूयं भवश्च भगवान् अथ दैत्यवर्य पत्नी मनोच च मनुश्च तद् आत्मजश्च प्राचीन बारी रिबु अंग उध्रुवश्च मदजीस वेद नो इट अहम माइसेल्फ अंग ओ नारद परमस्य ऑफ द सुप्रीम ही सर्टनली योग मायम पोटेंसी यूयम योरसेल्फ भव शिव च एंड भगवान The great demigod, Atha, as also, Daitya Varya, Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee of the Lord, born in the family of an atheist, Patni Satarupa, Mano of Manu, Sa, he, cha, also, manu, swayambhuva, cha, and, tat atmaja cha, and his children, like Priyavrat, Utanpad, Devahuti, Prachini Bahri, Prachini Bahri, Ribu, Ribu, Anga, Anga, Uta, even, Dhruva, Dhruva, Cha, and. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So we have read only the 43rd verse. There is 44th and 45th verse. So we will read all the three verses, translation and the purport. O Narad, although the potencies of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, still because we are all surrendered souls, we know how He acts through yoga maya potencies. And similarly, the potencies of the Lord are also known to the all-powerful Shiva, the great king of the Ithish family, namely Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhuva Manu, his wife Satarupa, his sons and daughters like Priyavrat, Utanpad, Akuti, Devahuti and Prasuti, Prachini Bahari, Ribu, Anga, the father of Vena, Maharaj Dhruva, Ikshavaku, Aila, Muchukunda, Maharaj Janak, Gadi, Raghu, Ambarish, Sagar, Gaya, Nahusha, Mandata, Alarka, Satadhanvay, Anu, Rantidev, Bhishma, Bali, Amrutarya, Dilipa, Sobari, Utanka, Shibi, Devala, Pipalada, Saraswata, Uddhav, Parashara, Bhurisena, Vibhishana, Hanuman, Sukadev Goswami, Arjun, Arshtisena, Vidura, Shrutadev, etc. Purport. All the great devotees of the Lord, as mentioned above, who flourished in the past or present, and all the devotees of the Lord who will come in the future, are aware of the different potencies of the Lord along with the potency of His name, quality, pastimes, entourage, personality, etc. And how do they know? Certainly it is not by mental speculation, nor by any attempt by dint of limited instruments of knowledge. By the limited instruments of knowledge, either the senses or the material instruments like microscopes and telescopes, one cannot even fully know the Lord's material potency, which are manifested before our eyes. For example, there are many millions and billions of planets far, far beyond the scientist's calculation. But these are only the manifestations of the Lord's material energy. What can the scientists hope to know from the spiritual potency of the Lord, such as material efforts, by such material efforts? Mental speculations by adding some dozens of ifs and maybes cannot aid the advancement of knowledge. On the contrary, such mental speculations will only end in despair, by dismissing the case abruptly and declaring the non-existence of God. The sane person therefore ceases to speculate on subjects beyond the jurisdiction of his tiny brain, and as a matter of course, he tries to learn to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, who alone can lead one to the platform of real knowledge. In the Upanishad it is clearly said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be known simply by working very hard and taxing the good brain, nor can He be known simply by mental speculation and jugglery of words. The Lord is knowable only by one who is a surrendered soul. Herein Brahmaji, the greatest of all material living beings, acknowledges this truth. Therefore, the fruitless spoiling of energy by pursuing the path of experimental knowledge must be given up. One should gain knowledge by surrendering unto the Lord and by acknowledging the authorities of the persons mentioned herein. I repeat, one should gain knowledge by surrendering unto the Lord and by acknowledging the authority of the persons mentioned herein. The Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of Yoga Maya helps the surrendered soul to know Him proportionately with the advance of one's surrender. Om Ajnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya
சக்ஷுருன்மிலிதம் யேனா தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நமஹ. நம ஓம் விஷ்ணு பதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரேஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த ஸ்வாமி இதி நாமினே. நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்ய தேச தாரிணே வாஞ்சா கல்பாதருப்யஸ்ய கிருபா சிந்துப்ய ஏவச பதீதானாம் பாவனேப்யோ வைஷ்ணவேப்யோ நமோ நமஹ. நமோ மகாவதன்யாய கிருஷ்ண பிரேம ப்ரதாயதே கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய நாமினே கௌர த்விஷே நமஹ. ஹே கிருஷ்ணா கருணா சிந்து தீனபந்து ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த ராதா காந்த நமோஸ்துதே தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே பிருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி விருஷபானு சுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரி பிரியே. ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணா சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர் ஸ்ரீவாஸ் ஆதி கௌர பக்த விருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராம. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. சோ திஸ் சாப்டர் விச் இஸ் என்டைட்டில்ட் ஷெட்யூல்ட் இன்கார்னேஷன்ஸ், chapter 7 of the second canto, we are reading the 43rd and 44th and the 45th verse. So this chapter, I'm sure many of you would have been following the Bhagavatam schedule, but this chapter is primarily talking about the wonderful incarnations of the Lord and the special services or the special attributes that these incarnations have, starting from the Bodh incarnation and goes on. This is a discussion between Lord Brahma and Narad Muni. Both are very, very relevant personalities as part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. They are both our original gurus of our Sampradaya. So any discussion between such great souls, any discussion is of paramount importance. And Srimad Bhagavatam really gathers such discussions, and that is, Bhagavatam is nothing but a compilation. Sukadeva Goswami is narrating various discussions which have happened with great souls. So like, you know, when ordinary people talk, they talk ordinary things, and which is called Gramya Katha or Prajalpa, and which some completely saps our devotional enthusiasm, right? There's a danger of Prajalpa, there's a danger of hearing Prajalpa, there's a danger of doing Prajalpa. It just saps your enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. Gramya katha na shunibe, gramya katha na kohibe, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Raghudas Das Goswami. The gramya katha na shunibe, don't even hear gramya katha or useless talks, and gramya katha na kohibe. So while this mundane talks, gramya katha, will sap your enthusiasm of Krishna consciousness, to the same extent, such divine discussions between two great personalities. Machita madagada prana bodhyantascha parasparam kathyantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So what do the great souls do when they come together? They don't talk about politics. They don't talk about who is going to win the elections. They don't talk about any mundane topic, but when they come together, they discuss about Krishna. Machita madagada prana bodhyantascha parasparam. They instruct each other. Bodhyantascha parasparam, to each other. Kathyantascha mam nityam. They always talk about Krishna. And through this, what do they achieve? What is this? What is the result of this discussion? To these two people who are discussing, or maybe to few people who are discussing. Tushyanti cha, complete satisfaction. And Ramanti cha, great bliss. So if you are looking for satisfaction, you are looking for bliss, you have to engage in discussions about Krishna. Or things related to Krishna, things related to Krishna's devotees, things related to Krishna's service. Those discussions are going to be useful. So when these two great souls who are here, and that's what is Bhagavatam all about, my dear friends, that it is a discussion between two great souls meant for their own bliss and satisfaction, and the result of hearing such discussions between two great souls is that we become divinely nourished by spiritual knowledge. So that is why when you come to listen to the class of Bhagavatam, we should be coming with prior understanding of why I am going to this class. It is not to just sit in the AC hall that we have here. I'm sure none of us have come to just sit in the AC hall here, right? It's not necessarily just to, maybe it could be one of the reasons that, oh, there's wonderful prasad after this, right? But now that we are here, sitting here, and you have to spend another one and a half hours, I will not leave you before that. That's the schedule. So might as well do something good about it, right? I mean, might take some good advantage of it. You all have traveled in this heat, in this crazy place of Mumbai. You have come here for some purpose. So let's achieve it. And what is the purpose? By hearing this discussion, we are going to purify our heart. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagvata sevaya bhagvatir uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. So we want to have bhakti established in our heart as an irrevocable fact. That is our desire. That is the purpose of our life. And this regular attendance of Bhagavatam classes is going to help us doing that. So these two great souls, Lord Brahma, who is Lord Brahma? I mean, we say Brahma. Who is Lord Brahma? He is the most intelligent of living beings existing. His whole body is made up of knowledge, my friends. I mean, you know, our body is made up of so many things. What is he made up of? He's just a whole being of knowledge. That's Lord Brahma. And his wife is Saraswati, who is again a giver of knowledge. Lord Brahma discovered Narad Muni. Narad Muni, who is Narad Muni? He is one of the most amazing, astounding, enthusiastic preachers of Krishna consciousness, having a whole galaxy of wonderful disciples that surrender to him. And people like Dhruv, Prahlad, Valmiki, I mean, just name it and they are his disciples. So when these two very powerful prasads are talking, that discussion cannot be ordinary. And you agree? It has to be special. So herein, we are discussing about a very important subject matter, about knowing the personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma says, you know, it is very difficult to know the personality of Godhead. It is practically impossible. And he is mentioning that because we have such material, blunt senses, how can we know something who is somebody who is so spiritually fine-tuned? The most fine-tuned, spiritually fine-tuned personality is Krishna. The most subtle of spiritual beings, we are trying to understand with the most bluntest of senses, material senses. Is it at all possible? Not possible at all. But our purpose of life is to understand Krishna. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That is the instruction of the Ishopanishad, that now that you have got the uniform of life, it is saying, now that you have got the uniform of life, what you should be doing? Not just pure jigyasa, because we have so many jigyasas, so many inquiries, but atato, now that, the word important, atato, now that, what does this now that mean? Now that you have got a human form of life, we are all human beings sitting here, and that we have got a human form of life, for some or the other we have got this human form of life, then now that you have got the human form of life, we should be doing Brahma Jigyasa. We should be inquiring about Brahman, about God, who is Supreme Brahman. Krishna, Gopinath is Supreme Brahman. We should be inquiring. And Lord Brahma is discussing with Shripad Narad Muni, But how do we understand God? And it is explained that ye yathamam prapadyante tam stitavya bhajam yaham. The way you approach Krishna or Krishna's energy, He will reciprocate with you accordingly. So if there are people who are wanting to not believe in Krishna, is it the atheistic class, then Krishna is going to give you the intelligence and conviction and the philosophy and the association to make you convinced that there is no God. You know, one of the very interesting things I was reading, that one of the things that the pure devotees become very amazed and happy about, and not only happy, but highly appreciate about Krishna, is that how can a pure soul, who are we? We are pure living entities, part of Krishna, right? How can this pure soul who is Satchit Ananda, who is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, and all the qualities written in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita cannot be cut by anything material. It is divine particle of the Lord. How can such a divine particle start identifying with a material body? Please try to understand this. It's actually a magic. It is like saying, you know, that I am getting convinced by somebody that I am Devi Priya Mataji. Now, how can somebody convince me that I am Devi Priya Mataji? Is it easy? Yes or no? I mean, what is the commonality? I am a male, she is a female, she is a mother, I am a father. I mean, everything is different. But suppose somebody does convince me that I am Devi Priya Mataji. How powerful that person is. You agree? Yes or no?
Yes.
Please be active and reply. I don't want to elaborate this, but do you see any commonality between me and her? She is my worshipable god sister here. Nothing, right? You know, I cannot be having murderly affection for Baldev and Vishnu Priya. I will have other feelings for them, but not the motherly feelings. Not possible. But if somebody convinces how wonderful it is, just imagine, this is exactly what has happened. The pure soul is convinced by some energy of the Lord to identify that you are the material body. I mean, there is no connection. This material body, in the previous verse, the material body is eaten by vultures and it is all filled with bile, stool, urine, pus and muscle. That's what the material body is all about. Just imagine the power of illusion of the spiritual world, the Mahamaya Shakti of the Lord, that it is so powerful that it convinces you, the spirit soul, that you are not the spirit soul. You start identifying with this material body and so grossly identifying with the material body. How absurd it is, the example that I gave. But this example is more absurd. But the fact is, Prabhus, that majority of the population is bewildered in such a way. We agree? That is why one of the ways that the pure souls glorify Krishna, I said, Bhagwan, aapki maya shakti kya amazing hai yaar. Amazing. How can such a maya shakti exist that people who are pure spirit souls, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, start identifying with this mundane material body, which is Achit, Asat and Nirananda. And so closely identifying with this body. Why? Because yatamam prapadyante tam sthitavya bhajamyam. Krishna is so amazingly wonderful. The way you approach him, he will give you the right understanding and he will actually make you convinced of something which you are not. And start identifying with this material body. And can you imagine how strong the identification? It takes years and years and sometimes decades and sometimes lifetimes of spiritual practice to come out of this identification. Yeah, you agree?
Yes.
It takes a long time. So how grossly and how deeply must be this identification that we are convinced about of something that we are not, something that we can never be? Please, let us... One of the ways to glorify Krishna is to, of course, glorify Krishna's qualities. But one of the ways to glorify Krishna is to glorify and appreciate Krishna's external energy. Wow! What a powerful energy you have, the Lord. And this is just one of His external energy and it can bewilder you. You know, this famous story in the 11th canto, Markandeya Rishi was saying, Oh Lord, I've heard about your material energy. It is very powerful. Can you give me a glimpse of it? Oh my God. Never ask this, my dear friends. Never dare to do that. So Krishna asked, are you sure? Of course. Markandeya Rishi, you know, he lives for practically unlimited. Can't be unlimited. But, he's been there for, in all the yugas, with, he has seen all the great souls, all the incarnations he has seen. That's how long he lives. So in, as he said, I'm going to elaborate the story, but as soon as he said that, Krishna just he was just found himself tossing and turning into this very, very turbulent ocean. Everything around was filled with water and nothing else. Far, everything was just a whole being of water. And he was tossing and turning and he was beaten by the waves and he was trying to, just get out and he was struggling and he experienced that it has been lifetimes that he was struggling in that water body, that huge deluge which was there. Struggling. Beautiful explanation, homework for all of us. 11th canto, please read this beautiful chapter of Markandeya Rishi getting bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. And finally, of course, he sees a land where there is a vriksha and he sees the Lord sucking his own toe. And then Krishna takes away the illusory energy. And he says, oh my God, it's been lifetimes. It was actually just a second which had passed. It was just a second. But in that second, Markandeya Rishi experienced the troubles of the material energy of lifetimes. That is Krishna's illusory energy. So one of the ways to glorify our Radha Gopinath is, oh my Lord, your energy is wonderful, but I don't want to experience it. Dur se salam. I respect it, but I don't want to experience it. But that's the way it is because Krishna's energy is so very powerful. That's what Krishna is. So when somebody wants to forget Krishna, somebody wants to not really understand the glories of Krishna, then the acharyas explain that Krishna creates a cloud of illusion. What does he create? A very interesting analogy. A cloud of illusion. Because when there is cloud, you could have the most brightest sun of the 12 o'clock noon sun. But just a small cloud comes in front of the sun, it gets covered. It could be the most powerful sun, right on the top of the sky. At 12 o'clock noon sun, it can be covered, right? So a cloud can cover anything. And similarly, Krishna creates this cloud of illusion, the so-called conviction. What is the illusion? The illusion is the conviction that I can stay separate from the Lord. That I'm the enjoyer. Ishwar aham, aham bhogi. That I'm Ishwara and I'm the enjoyer. He gives that through the cloud of illusion. So from this we understand that Krishna is the source of knowledge, forgetfulness, and Vedasya Sarvam Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Videha Chaham. That from Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Have you not experienced sometimes, you know, you just forget somebody's name that you have been, that you, what's the name? I mean, you have been talking about it, every day you meet that person, you forget the name. You know, so Krishna just gives you sometimes a glimpse, you know what, you think you are smart? you should at that time realize, my God, Krishna, you are, because you know, something that you all know. Kya hai uska naam yaar? The words that you know, you have been reciting for years, suddenly. Sometimes we have seen Mangala Arati, we have been singing Mangala Arati for 35 years. But sometimes you just forget one word. What? So never be sure. It is not your remembrance. It is Krishna who gives you the power of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Krishna wants to take it away any moment. There is a beautiful, I mean, it was such an amazing example of how Krishna works, that there was a very, very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. This story, of course, I think we have heard it. It was narrated by His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. You know, I forget the name of this disciple of Prabhupada, Matiji. When Niranjan Maharaj had gone to meet her, and somehow there she had forgotten everything. She was, what is it called? What is that thing called? See, this I forgot what is it called. I use this so often, I forgot. When you forget everything, what is it called? Dementia. How do you not forget? Dementia. But she had such an amazing, I mean, she forgot everything. But the only thing she knew is what, you know, is it was so sweet. The only thing, she didn't know Niranjan Maharaj. She forgot. But she would just sit and she would say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. This, only this tune which she usually sings during Tulsi Puja, this was the only thing she remembered, and everything else was wiped out, erased. So everything, Niranjan Maharaj said, do you know Prabhupada? Hare Krishna. They would just say that. It was the only thing that remained. Can you imagine that everything was systematically wiped out, and there must be some person who must have decided that, you know, this thing can be remaining here. And that's all she needed to know. Literally, Prabhus, she forgot everything. She didn't know who she was, she didn't know where she stayed, she didn't know anything about anything, but all she needed to know at the last stage of her life, she was in the palliative care unit. Maharaj went to meet her. She would just be reciting this mantra. All that was required to be known, Krishna gave, and all that was not required, Krishna erased. Kyun chahiye abhi? Who are you? What are you? Where are you? Why you need to know? All you need to know is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's what Krishna says. Through me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So, there is the... Sometimes we should know that we cannot know Krishna. So, there are four types of people in this world. Please give little attention. This is a little... You have to catch it, right? He who knows not and knows not, he knows not. Are you getting me? You didn't get it, right? ही हु नोज नॉट, उसको पता नहीं है, ही डजंट नो, एंड ही नोज नॉट दैट ही नोज नॉट, मीन्स उसको ही डजंट नो ऑल्सो दैट ही डजंट नो. डिड यू गेट इट? ही नोज नॉट एंड ही नोज नॉट दैट ही नोज नॉट इज अ फूल. शन हिम, उसको यू नो आई एम गेटिंग इट, ही नोज नॉट, उसको नहीं पता है. And he doesn't know that he doesn't know. He's a fool. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a simple person. Teach him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a simple person. Teach him. He who knows and knows not, he knows. He, उसको पता है, but he doesn't know that he knows. He is asleep, awaken him. And this category is of all Indians. They know Krishna, they know Guru, they know God, but they don't know that they know. Wake them up. Jeeva jago, jeeva jago. Literally. गौरचंद्र बोले कोथा निद्रा जाओ माया पीसा चीर खोले. सो जीव जागो, सो वेक देम अप. हु आर दिस पीपल? एनीबडी विल टेल मी हुम शुड वेक देम? हु नोज बट नो, ही हु नोज एंड नोज ही डज नॉट नो, ही हु नोज बट नोज दैट डज नॉट नो. And the last is, he who knows and he knows and he knows. He who knows and he knows, he's a wise person, follow him. Should I repeat? He who knows not and knows not, he is a fool. Don't associate with such people. Useless people, they will not do any good to you. He who knows not and he knows not, are simple people, teach them. So you need to help such people. जिसको पता है, अरे मेरे को पता नहीं है, I'm, you know, I really don't know. Please tell me. I really don't know. So at least he knows that I don't know. So these are simple people. Teach them. He who knows and he knows not. Is they are asleep, wake them up. And he who knows, he knows, and he knows. He's a wise person, follow them. So we all are trying to be there. We are trying to know Krishna. We can never know him completely. But we are trying to know him. And we know we are trying to know him. Right? That's why we are in the temple. We are trying to know Krishna. And we know we are trying to know Krishna. And we are trying to be wise by doing so. And that's the purpose of our life. So this whole discussion, my dear friends, is all about knowing Krishna. So that's why I'm using this four phrases about knowing. K-N-O-W. What is to know and what is not to know? And what is the type of people who know what they know, who know what they don't know? So this discussion is between two personalities, and they are saying that how do we know Krishna? First of all, it is clearly mentioned that how we cannot know Krishna. We cannot know Krishna by any mundane methods. By any mundane, Prabhupada specifically mentions mundane instruments like telescope or microscope. Prabhupada writes in the purport that you cannot know Krishna at all by anything mundane. Many times, you know, we do not have so much faith in Krishna. We want to see, one of the signs of not having much faith in Krishna or not knowing Krishna completely is that we want to see magic. Only when we see magic, then we have faith. Yeah, Krishna. But every time Krishna doesn't show magic. It's a very mundane way of attracting people by showing magic. So Krishna's one of the names, how do we know Krishna? One of the names of Krishna is Adokshaja. What is the meaning of Adokshaja? One of the worshipable deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father was Adokshaja Vishnu. He would worship as this Pranadhana Murti. Adokshaja Vishnu. If you go to Siddham Mayapur, you still see that deity right there. With Jagannath Mishraji would worship. So what is the meaning of Adokshaja? You know, like in English, we have from A to Z, right? A to Z, and all the words, all the alphabets are going to be between A to Z. There cannot be anything beyond this 26 alphabets, right? Similarly, in Sanskrit, we have A and Ksha. The first word is A and Ksha. That makes it Aksha. And that personality, who cannot be fitted or cannot be understood by anything which is in between A and Sha, is called Adokshaja. Who cannot be understood by anything mundane, who cannot be understood by anything which is ordinary, by anything which is material, by anything through our senses. One who cannot be understood through our senses is called Adokshaja. Krishna can never be understood by our mundane senses. You cannot see Krishna through your senses. Because Krishna is spiritual. So, how can we prove that Krishna is Adokshaja? Krishna has proved by his own leelas. That, you know, one, can you measure Krishna's size? I mean, one of the ways to say, Krishna, okay, what is your height? Sometimes we measure people, their height kya hai? 5'11", 6'3", whatever, that's the height. So if you're trying to understand Krishna and want to measure Krishna's height, it's not possible. Which leela you think shows that Krishna cannot be understood by his height? Absolutely right. Wonderful. Thank you. Krishna, when he came as Vamanadev, he was very, very tiny. See, please understand, Krishna is so, wonderful, and he just makes this leela so very relevant that why of all the things that Krishna could have taken form of, he took the form of a Vaman in this leela. Why? Because he knew that from that something big is going to happen from there. He knew it. They said, the smaller I am, otherwise, you should think of why Maman. It could be anything, right? It could be still a. It could be a, you know, a horse incarnation, or even forget it. If a human being came as a normal human being, and then would ask for the three steps of land, and then became Trivikram. But Krishna says, you know, I can be the smaller than the smallest, Vamana, a dwarf, a small human being. But at the same time, he became so very big that he couldn't be even measured by the whole, in the whole universe. And the whole universes, not just one universe, the whole universes, still Krishna couldn't be measured. So this is what we said. He became too small to be taken seriously, but too large to fathom. Interesting, right? He was so small, that nobody took him seriously. Vaman, what do you want? Too chota hai yaar. You know, I remember, I want to share with you once. You know, I mean, it's not the right thing, but many times we don't take dwarfs very seriously. You agree? It's very sad. But they become objects of laughter, right? And that's why many times you see dwarfs acting in circuses only. So I went to meet a very, very, very highly, extremely wealthy person in Nariman Point. And you know, obviously I was keeping myself, I was just preparing for myself. And it was a huge office, okay. And there was a long passage. And I could see right in the end of the passage, there was this big boardroom where I was supposed to meet this person. So I was waiting. I was told, you please wait here. So, you know, from that board, I still remember the scene. From the passage came a dwarf. Person who was a dwarf. And, you know, I couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry. I mean, it was not right. I agree. He was looking very, very, very strange. And he came, walked towards me. And then he said, he came to me, to meet me. And he said, whom do you want to meet? I said, I want to meet so-and-so. I said, come with me. And then I asked him, by the way, who are you? He said, I am that person's personal secretary. I said, my God, I messed up. And you cannot you can't mess up with a personal secretary of the big man. I said, I'm really sorry, sir. I said, no, it happens with me all the time. But the point is, this man was, at that time, he was an IIM graduate. And he was working as a top advisor to this big managing director of a company. So never judge the book by its cover. Never judge a person. So similarly, you know, why Krishna took the form of dwarf? Because usually dwarfs are not taken so seriously. You don't feel intimidated by a dwarf. They are very sweet and they are very, you know, all you can do is play with them. But they, of course, we should always respect everybody. So, Vamanadev came as a dwarf, so he was too small to be taken seriously. And then he became too large to really fathom. Who is he? It was shocking. He was just, Bali Maharaj was just amazed. I said, my God, what has happened of you? So please understand, my dear friend, Krishna does these leelas. Why? To teach us that, you know, you can never understand me either as a dwarf or as Sri Vikram, because I'm neither of them. I'm much beyond that. Because I'm Adokshaja. So when you see such pastimes, you should understand. And the whole idea of this pastime is to increase our appreciation and our understanding of Krishna. And what is that understanding of Krishna that we want to have? The understanding that we want to have is that we can never understand Krishna. That is the understanding we want. That, you know what, Krishna can never be understood by our senses. Now Krishna, we talk about height and then we talk about weight. What is Krishna's weight? One of the person who really miscalculated Krishna's weight. Any guesses? Trinavarta. Very true. As a Krishna ka weight kitna hai? Maybe maximum he might be, you know, maybe Krishna was also well fed, of course. So maybe he is 20 kilos, 25 kilos. Small child. Utna to weight mein bear kar sakta ho, no problem. So he came as a boom, 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 boom. He came as a powerful whirlwind and before anyone knew, he just lifted him. And he was on Krishna's. And as we know, Krishna was enjoying this ride. And then the same size Krishna became super heavy. I mean, you know, Trinavarta was not some ordinary, he was a very powerful demon, extremely powerful demon. So I'm sure he had a lot of strength to carry huge amount of weight. But when Krishna became heavy, he actually came down with like a thum, thud. Yeah? So that was Krishna's weight. So you cannot understand Krishna's height, Krishna's weight, where Krishna is. Krishna is Adokshaja. When you go out today, you should remember this one very important lesson, my dear friends, that Krishna is Adokshaja. I cannot understand Krishna by my senses. Then we can't measure Krishna's presence. You know, if we want to judge somebody, where are you? You call somebody, where are you? That you have, people nowadays send the GPS location. Just imagine if you are able to talk to Krishna and you say, Krishna, where are you? And you get his GPS location, what would you get? He's everywhere. Can you imagine Krishna's GPS location is in between every atom? So if just imagine if Krishna sent you his GPS location, global positioning system, where is Krishna's location? He's everywhere. Are we able to appreciate this, Prabhus? That Krishna is not in every atom. He is in between every atom also. So you can never understand Krishna's presence in one place. Because at a time, a normal human person is in one place, right? Mystic yogis can be at couple of places. Because they have mystic powers, they can be at 2-3 places. It is said at the most, mystic powers can make you be at 8 places at a time. Not more than that. But in all those 8 places, you have to do the same activity. If the left hand goes, right hand goes up, everybody's right hand will go up. So that's mystic. You can be at 8 places. But Krishna can be doing multiple activities at multiple places. And this is the proof that we saw in Dwarka. Krishna was present. If you ask Krishna, where are you? He was everywhere with all the 16,108 queens doing multiple different activities. And when you read Krishna book, one place Krishna was offering oblation to the Surya, one place he was meditating, one place he was opening wells, he was digging wells, one place he was in Sudharma. Multiple activities he was doing. So Krishna cannot be fathomed by his location, his presence. This is what makes him Adopshaja. 10:30. And similarly, when, you know, one very sweet way that Krishna Adopshaja aspect is that you can never materially fathom the measure of his mercy, and you can never fathom by your material senses the love that he has for his devotees. These are two very sweet things. You cannot fathom how much mercy he has. Karuna Sindhu. He is the ocean. Can you fathom the quantity of water in an ocean? Not possible, right? That is the amount of Karuna that Krishna has. Is Karuna Sindhu. You can never understand Krishna's Karuna potency by your senses. He's ocean of mercy. Isn't that very hope giving, Prabhus? And Mataji's, of course. Is it very hope giving, right? Krishna is Karuna Sindhu. He is an ocean of mercy. Why should we worry? He loves his devotees. There's a second thing. There is no way you can come. You know, there is a whole discussion between Durvas Muni and Lord Vishnu. And Durvas Muni asked him, "Are, why do you love your devotees so much? Itna prem. I mean, you're doing anything." I said, "You cannot imagine how much I love my devotees." And there's actually no point. He just loves. He's in madly love with his devotees. Sadhunam Hridayam Mayam. Sadhunam Hridayam Tuham. That I know no one but my devotee. And my devotee knows no one but me. That is Krishna. That is another aspect of Adopshaja Krishna. You can never understand materially the quantity of love and the quantity of mercy that Krishna has in his heart for his devotees. But why is it that we are not able to understand this, understand Krishna? We'll quickly go through some of the reasons why we are not able to understand Krishna. Krishna is so wonderful, he cannot be understood by his Adopshaja. He's just filled with more of everything. Why are we not able to understand him? We are trying, right? Why? First is, Prabhus, and that's why we need to work towards it. If we want to know Krishna, and we all want to know Krishna, right? To some extent. First is, attachment to materialism. Our acharyas have given 5 points. 5 points of why we cannot know Krishna. First point is, heavily focusing on material gains only. What is that verse? Bahushaka inantasya Buddha. The resolute determination for devotional service. Anybody? Vivashatmika buddhi ekye kurunandana. That Bahushaka inantasya mudhabhav samangita. That when you are too attached to sense gratification, the resolute determination for devotional service does not and cannot take place. What is it? The resolute determination. Because it is Bahushaka. We are just running here and there. But we have to be resolute in our purpose. And our aim should be one. But when we are many branched, the determination will not come. That is why it said that when we heavily focused on self gratification and running here and there, jivere lala se ye iti uti dai, shishnu dar paraya na krishna nahi paaye. Jivere lala se ye, if the tongue and through the tongue the other organs on in the same line are running here and there, jivere lala se ye iti uti dai, ye running here and there, kabhi vada pav, kabhi pani puri, bhago bhago idhar bhago. Kabhi ye movie, kabhi wo movie, kabhi ye song, kabhi ye song. I constantly bothered. Right? Our mind is getting tormented, getting pulled. You know, we are becoming a laughing stock of the person who is controlling us. They laugh at us. Hey, kaisa murkh aadmi hai ye? Yahan bhagta hai, yahan bhagta hai, yahan bhagta. What? I mean, if you see a person like this, will you laugh at him or not? But that's what we all are. If you have a higher perspective, you have a perspective from the top, you will see all of us are running here and there. Iti uti dai shishodar parayana. Shishno means if you don't have shishta, if you don't have discipline. Shishodar parayana krishna nahi pa. If you do not have discipline of the senses, krishna nahi pa. You can do, you can 64 rounds. 128 rounds. 192 rounds. Karo. If you do not have discipline, you cannot get Krishna. Because Krishna cannot be achieved by material things, my friends. Even this chanting can be material if there is no substance to it. It can be a number game. Right? The second is neglect of spiritual principles. We all are supposed to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, follow the four agro principles, read Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Srimad Bhagavatam every single day. Sometimes, because we are doing it every single day, there is a strong desire to neglect these spiritual practices and make it watered down. It is a serious problem. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. It is a serious problem. Because the tendency is to water down the practices of Krishna consciousness. And that is why you can never have the resolute determination of Krishna consciousness. We have watered down the practice. We chant very, very ordinary rounds. We do things very mechanically because we are not understanding why we do what we do. We simply do it for the sake of doing it. Yes or no? It's a serious problem. I was speaking to one of the very senior devotees in our society and he said, one of the biggest problems in our society is what? That many people who are initiated are not completing their 16 rounds. That is a biggest problem. Of course, I am nobody to judge. They are nobody to judge. But each of us have to judge ourselves. That basic vow that we have taken of 16 rounds minimum of Hare Krishna mantra, are we doing it? Or we are neglecting that spiritual principle. We are just saying, you know what? I didn't do it yesterday. Nothing happened. I've been not doing it once in a while for last few years. Nothing happened. In fact, I got promoted as a mentor. Nothing against mentor, okay, sorry. But you know, I got some higher service. And you know what, I went to some donor and he gave me big money because he said that you are very pure. So, chanting nahi kar raha hu, to bhi pure to hu main abhi bhi. So you get all these thoughts. It is extremely dangerous. Because the fall does not happen by announcing it that it's coming. The fall happens one fine day. It is explained in one of the purports, I forget which one, I don't know. Prabhupada said two things. That one fine day you will realize you are a pure devotee. There's a purport. One fine day. Now not that when you say realize means not that, oh, I'm a pure devotee. You know what, I'm a pure devotee, I'm a pure, not like that. But one fine day that Krishna will reveal to you in your heart. And one fine day, also Prabhupada writes in the same purport, you realize you have lost the taste of Krishna consciousness. You have lost it, it's gone. It's just withdrawn. And like, you know, how you not paid the bill. The bill, the light continues for 3-4 days. But one fine day, the light gaya. One fine day, it is withdrawn, right? Because you have not paid the bill. It doesn't happen immediately. They give you 1 month notice and then 125. The third is emotional blockages. First is what? Attachment to materialism. Second is neglect of spiritual practices. The third is emotional blockages. That means to hold on to that anger, hold on to various negative emotions, jealousy, resentment, all this negativity that we have it, right? Okay, fine, it's bound to be there. But to hold on to it is a problem. To consider it to be valuable, that's a problem. The whole idea is to give it up. But till the time you hold on, and that is called emotional blockages. And when there's a blockage, what happens? Things get jammed, right? Your spiritual life gets jammed. Just remove all the blockages. And just live life without such negativities in your life. And if you are not removing, then you will be in the cloud of illusion. You will remain in the cloud of illusion, no matter how much ever you practice externally your Krishna consciousness. The fourth is ego dominance. We all know this, right? That to the extent we allow our egos to dominate our lives, our practices, our actions, our relationships, to that extent you cannot be out of the cloud of illusion. Because whom are you worshipping? You are worshipping your own ego. It's not possible. And the fifth and the last is mundanity of Krishna consciousness. To make Krishna consciousness very, very mundane over time. You understand what is mundane? To make it very ordinary, to make it very, very casual. So nothing remains special in your life. Nothing excites you anymore. Prabhu, we are going to Yatra, Mayapur Yatra, very soon. Five bar ja ke aaya yaar. Not excited. Prabhu, today's, after 1 week, there is Janmashtami. 10 saal se Janmashtami kar raha hun. Same Krishna. I mean, devotees don't say this. But they may be thinking, well, what's so special about Janmashtami? Sunday feast. I remember Sunday feast program in Radha Gopina temple. Kya hai ro? 35 saal se ja raha hun Sunday feast program. I don't want to go anymore. Why? Because you make it very mundane. And the symptom of making it mundane is, and you can check for yourself, that nothing much will excite you in Krishna consciousness. You won't be enthusiastic for anything. You just become like, it is called the buffalo syndrome. You know what, you've seen a buffalo? They go into the water. And then I enter like, and then you do so much, you shout. You see buffaloes like that? I remember the scene is very, very clearly kept in mind in Pawan Sarovar in Vrindavan. The buffalo just goes. He's entering the water and then nothing excites him. And again he's gone. So, I mean, it's a little funny, but that's a fact. And if we are not careful, the more time you spend in Krishna consciousness, the more you have this buffalo syndrome. Nothing excites you because you are not in the fire of Krishna consciousness. The fire has been blown off because you have watered down your Krishna consciousness. That water of mundanity has blown off the fire of Krishna consciousness. I am sure many of us experienced it. I am not about asking, but I have experienced it. And that's the moment that happens, do something about it. Don't let it happen, because that enthusiasm is all that we have. If you lose enthusiasm, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, you are like a dead man. You are spiritually dead. Finished. Antim sanskar kar lo aapka spiritual life ka. If you don't have enthusiasm. Yeah? So we must understand that the only way we can know Krishna is two things. by surrendering to Krishna, as the purport says, right? If you remember, the purport as Prabhupada says, to surrender to Krishna. And how do we surrender to Krishna? How do we surrender to Krishna? By surrendering to His representatives. And the foremost representative of Krishna in our life is our spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Koriyo Akya Arna Koriyo Mane Asha. To make the order of the spiritual master as one life and soul. When you surrender to Krishna, and the classical example is of the illiterate Brahmana in South India. Did he know Krishna? Of course, he knew Krishna so profusely that just by mentally focusing on that sight of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjun, the tears coming in his eyes. That's how he was so fine-tuned in knowing Krishna. I mean, he didn't have to even hear Bhagavatam. He was constantly crying tears. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, why are you crying when you're chanting Bhagavad Gita? And that you're not chanting properly. You are illiterate. You don't even know how to read and write. I mean, you can imagine if you don't know how to read and write, you don't even know whether it is the right side of the book or left. I mean, sometimes you would read it, as we understand, you would read Ulta Bhagavad Gita. And you would read it because he was so illiterate. And people are laughing at him. Kaisa aadmi yaar? Book to sidha pakad. And what sort of person you are? But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, there were tears in his eyes. This story is so profoundly instructive, Prabhus. And Krishna said that, why are you crying? I said, you know what? When I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, I'm just imagining in my mind, I have that photo of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjun. And how can Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Param Brahma, drive Arjuna's chariot? What sort of menial activity is that? That Arjuna is kicking Krishna when he wants to go to the right. He's kicking Krishna on the left, right buttocks. He's kicking Krishna on the left buttocks so that he can know where he wants to go. How is it that Krishna is doing this? And when I see this quality of Krishna, there are tears in my eyes. I said, you know Krishna. You really know Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. You really know Krishna. Why? Because he surrendered to a spiritual master. The one way is to surrender to Krishna. And the way we surrender to Krishna is very, very, very practical. We have not, and surrender to Krishna otherwise it appears to be, are kya karne? Surrender to Krishna means, what do we do? Do I just remain like this, surrender for 1 hour? No, I mean, it's nothing external about it, right? Surrender to Krishna means, as our Sudama Prabhu says, surrender. Surrender Guru's lotus feet is surrender. To put your head under lotus feet of Guru, that Guru, whatever you say, I'll follow. And by that, slowly, Krishna is going to be revealed to us. There is no doubt about it. Adau shraddha tada sadhu sangha ta bhajan kriya anarthi nirvitishad ruchi stataha. From ruchi comes bhava, from bhava comes prema. That slowly, what is bhava? It's that slowly we are trying to understand, and the Krishna's understanding is becoming more and more mature, more and more fine-tuned, more and more subtle by practice of Krishna consciousness. It all starts with adau shraddha, tada sadhu sango, ta bhajana kriya, ta anartha nivritti. And then it goes on, it will lead to prema. Man, we don't know. We just need to do our service. We are not attached to when it happens. But be sure, it will happen. And another way to understand the glories of knowing Krishna is to hear from those people who know Krishna. Prabhu, there's so much of importance to hear Krishna Katha, what we are doing right now. Never, see, because, I was just thinking that everything about Krishna is adokshaja. So even his practice of Krishna consciousness is adokshaja. We can never understand. Then what do we gain by just sitting and hearing? Isme kya hone wala hai? But don't try to understand this process of Shravanam and Kirtanam through your mundane senses, because you cannot understand this process by your mundane senses. And that is why, because Krishna's adokshada quality is not only to him, but to his form, to his pastimes, to his entourage, Prabhupada says this, right? It is that adokshita principle, Prabhu, is for every aspect of Krishna. So even Krishna's practice, the process, is also adokshaja. Don't understand, because many times I was had a question, I said, what is it I'm going to gain by again and again chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, 16 rounds every day for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. What is going to happen? How many of us have got this thought? Those who are not raising, you are lying. Because we all have got thought. Because actually it is a mundane thing, we just speaking from our mouth. But we are not doing a mundane activity. We are doing a divine activity because chanting number one Krishna's holy names. And we can never understand the glory of this process through our mundane senses. Because Krishna's process is adokshaja. And Krishna's holy name is also adokshaja. You can never understand Krishna's holy name through your senses, Prabhus. Not possible. Simply have to continue the process. And the only way you can know Krishna is by surrendering and by hearing. And by surrendering and hearing, what happens? It is not that Krishna has to reveal to you. But Krishna will desire to reveal to you. Krishna will feel, okay, let me reveal. And only when Krishna reveals himself to you, when Krishna wants you to know him, will he reveal to you himself to you. And when he reveals, what more do you want? What more do you want? Right? And that's how he revealed to Lord Brahma in Vrindavan, he revealed to Lord Indra, then Krishna himself revealed. Lord Brahma, he stole the calves and everything. Krishna revealed that, you know what, I am that original Vishnu, and all the calves and the coward boys, they were all my expansions, and he revealed to Lord Brahma. And that's why, because he was revealed, Lord Brahma, why do these great souls chant prayers? Because when you get revealed something, you want to offer prayers. And that's why the prayers are nothing but an outcome of revelation of Krishna. And that is why it is revealed. And I know I'll take it 2 more minutes. And this verse is heavily filled with some divine, beautiful names of wonderful devotees, right? These are like veteran devotees, the classical devotees who have really known Krishna through their hard work. So we have there are so many names. I'm sure 80% of the names we all can identify. Some names we may not be able to identify, but these are great devotees of the Lord. You know, we have Prahlad, we have Rantidev, we have Shrutadev. So all Prahlad Maharaj, we all know, of course, you know, from a child, you know, he was so surrendered, and through him, through his teachings and through his activities, we can understand Krishna. Rantidev, we all know that how he was so much, you know, in a mood of giving and giving and giving, that, you know, when he was almost dying and somebody came to ask him, it's a long story, cutting it short, somebody asked that the last cup that he had of drinking water, all his food was gone, everything was gone, somebody asked for water, he gave the water also. And then, of course, Krishna revealed to him as Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. What do we learn from Rantidev? The quality of sacrifice. By performing the quality of sacrifice, like Rantidev, you can know Krishna. What do you learn from Prahlad Maharaj? By the quality of having unflinching faith in Krishna. Krishna will be revealed to us. That's what we learn from Prahlad Maharaj. And what do we learn from Shrutadev? Shrutadev and Bahulaswa were two great devotees of Krishna, and from Mithila. Krishna came to Mithila and he said, both, one was a king. Bahulaswa was a king and Shrutadev was a very, very poor Brahmana. His name appears here, Shrutadev. And Krishna said, so Krishna expanded himself into two. One Krishna went to Shrutadeva's house, one Krishna went to Bahulaswa's house, and Bahulaswa was treating Krishna with all opulence, with all the royalty of a king. But our Shrutadeva was a very poor person. You know, so he was himself dancing, he was trying to entertain Krishna. The king had all the dancers entertaining him, but this gentleman was just himself dancing, and then he was throwing water at the same time so that, you know, there was no fragrance. But he was throwing water so that Krishna feels a little cool. He came to Krishna's, Krishna came to his house. And you know, his wife was cooking and then he was serving. And while he was serving, he would be dancing. And while he was dancing, he had a cloth. He was moving cloth like this. So he was fanning Krishna. So simple, right? Such simple devotion. He didn't even have a fan. He was himself fanning. He didn't have dancers. He was himself dancing. But Krishna was equally satisfied with both Sutadev and Bahulasva. So what do we learn from Sutadev? That no matter whatever you have, you may not have as much as some other devotees. Fine, don't be envious of them, but offer to Krishna what you have. Don't try to be something which you are not. Many times our life goes in this whole way, to be something that we are not. Why waste your life by being something that you are not? The way Krishna doesn't want to be like that. Can you imagine if, you know, Sutadev was saying, "Arey, mere paas to yaar ye sab nahi hai." He didn't bother. He said, I will serve Krishna to my heart's content and to the best that I can do. And that's why his name is on the pages of Bhagavatam. Can you imagine? So please, be happy of what Krishna has given you. Let us be happy what Krishna has given us and do maximum what we have received. Offer that 100% to Krishna. Right? So but by doing that, Prabhus, we will, I'm sure, one fine day, Krishna will be known to us and our life will be perfect. But the bottom line is, just to end, it all boils down to appreciating the adokshaja activities, and I use the word adokshaja activities, of Krishna's pure devotees. And Prabhupada going to America and his compassion of Prabhupada can also never be understood by our senses, mundane senses. You cannot understand what sort of compassion a pure devotee has. And that is what makes him do what he did, what Prabhupada did. That's why it is never enough to repeat this, that at the age of 70, crossing the oceans and going on a cargo ship to America, it is unbelievable what sort of activity Prabhupada did for all of us. That can never be enough. We can never repeat that and feel that, you know, enough is enough. We glorify enough Prabhupada. We can never, because what he has done is unimaginable. You can never understand through your senses what sort of compassion Prabhupada has to get people back to Godhead. Not possible. So by surrendering ourselves to lotus feet of spiritual master, by being very, very honest devotees, by chanting our rounds very nicely every single day, by giving due respect to the process of Krishna consciousness every day, by serving our spiritual master, by respecting the devotees of the Lord, by hearing from them, the main purpose of our life, which is to know Krishna, will be achieved. And not getting stuck in these five things that we mentioned about mundanity and emotional blockage, neglect of spiritual practices. And that's why we thank Lord Brahma and Narad Muni for revealing us this wonderful secret of how to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adokshaja Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Do we take questions? One question? Yes, we can take. One question? Yes. So the question is, one of the things to know Krishna is to hear from somebody who knows Krishna. So he's asking, how do we know that he knows Krishna? So knowing Krishna or somebody trying to know Krishna is same. Somebody who is trying to know Krishna who is on the path to knowing Krishna, is as good as somebody who knows Krishna. Somebody who is very, very honestly and sincerely, as a sadhaka, trying to know Krishna. Because we are not here to judge, he knows, he doesn't know, he knows 50%, he knows 53%. We are not here to judge, right? So the best thing, and this is exactly what is in one of the purports, I remember Prabhupada saying that, a devotee, a sincere devotee, when you are hearing from a sincere devotee, you get the same benefits of hearing from a pure devotee. Because he is sincerely trying to be something. Right? So similarly, when you are hearing from a sincere Vaishnava who is trying to repeat exactly, as the Prabhupada said very clearly, of course Prabhupada was not like that, but he said, I may not be pure, or I'm not pure, but I'm repeating the message which is pure. So the message which I'm speaking is very important. I'm not important. Right? So when somebody is sincere, they're trying to know Krishna, he's repeating what he knows. So when somebody is repeating what he knows and we hear from that person, we get the same benefit of knowing Krishna. That's why he used the word sincere. He said many times people are there to do something which to get attention and things like that, right? Yeah, so other paths. So there are so many people, and that's why, when you come to Krishna consciousness, we don't have to keep our intelligence aside. Thoda buddhi vapana chahiye. Where is it written that you keep your intelligence aside and just follow everything? And jatomat tatopat, everything will lead to the... Then no, it doesn't make sense, right? How can jatomad be tatopat? How can any path lead to Krishna? Not possible, right? If you're going towards the sea, you are not going towards away from the sea, right? The philosophy is jatomad tatopat. Any path will lead to Krishna. Rubbish. So be intelligent. Be discriminative. And that's why it is said we should have not only buddhi or intelligence, but we should have viveka buddhi. Discriminatory intelligence. A devotee should have discriminatory intelligence, where he can discriminate what is right and wrong. And how does the discriminatory intelligence come? By doing sadhana. When you do sadhana, your discrimination power becomes very sharp. You can discern very quickly what is right and what is wrong. But to the extent that sadhana is poor, to the extent of intelligence is blunt. And you realize something but very late. And that's why we say, I should have not done this. That is a sign of blunt intelligence. Because a sincere devotee, it is not that he doesn't get desire for maya. He doesn't get desire for sense gratification. But he knows exactly what to do when he gets the desire to say no to it. That's why, because he's sharp. You understand? So we should have intelligence to listen from the right person. Discrimination should be there. Right? That's very important also. Anyways, I think it's already 11 o'clock. Thank you very much. Raj Sisi Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Gaur Premanandi. Yeah.